stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, April 25th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line right now is Pastor Chatfield, Russell Kirk's principal of prescription. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This is a part of the larger idea, Russell Kirk. He's kind of disciple of Edmund Burke, known as the father of modern conservatism. When he wrote the book The Conservative Mind, I want to just review the 10 principles of conservatism. What does it mean to be a conservative? But then I want to focus in on the third principle that conservatives believe in, what may be called the principle of prescription. True enough, I am by nature, personality, upbringing, training, I am a conservative. And my thinking here is not just politics or national politics, in which we got to be careful. And I'll get to that. But it's also among churches and even among Baptists, independent Baptists. Seems to me to be a large movement away from conservative thinking. That's really what got me thinking on these lines. But you can see it everywhere, the breaking down of the old ways, of the old thinking. Because of those of us who still hold to the old ways, the old thinking, the classical education, America, constitutionalism, we're just not thinking people. You got to open up your eyes and think. You're not a thinker, Chatfield. Okay, all right. All you ever do is quote Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and Edmund Burke. Don't you have any, or the Bible? Don't you have any original ideas yourself? Not many. And by the way, if I have original,
okay.
if I have an original idea,
sure.
I just read and say these guys are smarter than me. Way smarter than me. My ideas, obviously against the Bible, no way. But even against people like Lincoln or Washington or Madison or Harry Truman, a lot of men, although Harry Truman was not educated he's the last president not to have a college degree. So what? Have you ever known somebody who had a college degree that didn't know much? Truman was a great reader, though. He read and read, and he was prepared, even though maybe he didn't know he was prepared, but he was prepared, and he was, and the more I read about him, the more I like him. But, all right, so I want to go over, what does it mean to be a conservative? A conservative is not so much, I'm starting to understand this more and more, we're not ideologues. That means we're not like Marxists. Marxists have their ideas. Karl Marx, Communist Manifesto, Das Kapital, he has ideas about property, and and his ideas, his drive him to propose what he proposes. Whereas conservatives, it's a frame of mind. It is a way of thinking. It is a cautiousness. It is a an idea that, you know, we don't know everything. But in my argument to my liberal or progressive or communist friends is, at least I know I don't know everything. You think you know everything, and you don't even know what you don't know. At least I right. know I. At least I know I don't know. At least I know that Lincoln was smarter than me. Do you? Do you know it?
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Good perspective. Excellent. Excellent topic for today. Short break. A word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659. Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky. There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling grab
you. Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, staying on through the break, of course, is Pastor Chatfield having a discussion about Russell Kirk's his theory, his principle of prescription. And you say this has to do with basically defining what is a conservative.
Right. And I'll get to prescription in more detail. There's 10 principles that Kirk kind of encapsulates what it means to be a conservative. And you've heard me talk about this at least two or three times on the show the last 10 years. One, here's what are conservatives? A conservative believes that there exists an enduring moral order, and that order is made for man, and man is made for it. Human nature is constant. Moral truths are permanent. I mean, we believe in the Ten Commandments. We believe that God exists. It is no accident that, by and large, atheists are not conservatives. I mean, why would you be a conservative if you don't believe there's some absolute truths? There's nothing to conserve. We're animals. Kill or be killed. There's no God to ask answer to. Just do whatever you want. So people that believe in God, generally, they kind of look at the world, hey, there's some moral truths here, and those moral truths need to be sustained. Secondly, a conservative adheres to custom, convention, continuity. We have customs. This is the way we do things. Whether it's a Chatfield custom, a Bishop custom, this is the way we've always done it. And again, I started off in churches where I hear preachers say, well, why do you guys run your church service like that? And if I answer back, well, that's the way we've always done it. They laugh and say, well, that's not very thinking. No, well, again, you might not be as smart as you think you are. I rarely admit, I don't want to get off the rails of what we believe. In our adult Sunday school class on Sunday, we've been reading every week kind of a short statement of faith. I'm not going to, there's some doctrines of the Bible I'm not going to rethink. I'm not going to rethink that the Bible is the Word of God. I'm not going to rethink that. I'm not going to rethink the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm not going to rethink the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. There's a whole bunch of things I'm not rethinking. I'm not going to rethink that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. The way we do things. We adhere to custom. It's the way we've always done it. Tradition, if you will. Convention. Continuity. It's continuity that links one generation to another. And without continuity, society would fall into chaos. This is the way we do things. And generally, it's good. Thirdly, and this is conservatives believe in what we'd be called the principle of prescriptions. I'm going to leave that for now because I'm going to come back to that. Fourth, conservatives are guided by their principle of prudence. We believe in being careful. We don't go willy-nilly. We try not to. We try to look at the long-term consequences. Many times we've tried to explain the American Declaration of Independence. It was a radical. I mean, we did throw off the government. It is their right. It is their duty to throw off such government. Yes, it was a revolution. It was. But it was based on eternal truths. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And that freedom is an eternal truth. And in the midst of that second paragraph of the Declaration, Jefferson wrote, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. A conservative looks at history. We look backward a lot. And yes, we look forward, but we look backward. We say, well, wait a minute here. I don't want to end up, when the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks overthrew the Tsarist government, Nicholas II. Oh, they thought, oh, this is good. We're going to follow the American way, and this is good. But hey, that revolution, it started with more of a moderate Republican form, and then went to more socials, and finally ended in the Bolshevism, and Lenin, and then followed by Stalin. When you throw off all tradition and the way you've run things, man, Stalin was far worse than any czar ever was. So you got to be careful. You better be careful what you're throwing off. Because, and the same thing was true earlier with the French Revolution. Robespierre was far worse than Louis the 16th. The Reign of Terror. I mean, it was, yeah, I get it. They didn't have a lot of freedom in France, and you had the aristocracy running things, and that's not all good. Of course not. But when you just radically throw off government, look what it leads to. You got to be careful. You got to understand history. But what has happened before when these things have happened? That's why, by the way, communists say that, well, you conservatives are just afraid. Hey, there's a bold new world. There's a brave new world out there. Let's go. Hey, yeah, you're right. I am kind of, because I've read too much history to know, hey, these things don't always end well. You better be careful what you're throwing off. Fifthly, conservatives pay attention to principle of variety. We're not the ones that want to make everybody conformed. We say, hey, well, that's the nature of human existence. It's okay to have variety. Sixth, conservatives are chastened by the principle of imperfectibility, and this is so true. Listen, we believe the Bible. We believe in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind. We look at history and we say, no government has ever been perfect. There's always been arguments. There's always been problems. There's always been crime. There's always been prejudice. There's always been things going on. Mankind is imperfectible. We don't look for perfection. As Kurt says, we look for a reasonably ordered and just society. Reasonably ordered and just. That's as good as we can look for. Things are never going to be perfect. Seventh, conservatives are persuaded that freedom and property are closely linked. We know that. We believe in property rights. Eight, conservatives uphold voluntary community as much as they oppose involuntary collectivism. On the one hand, we believe that mankind is basically sinful, but we are still creating the image of God, and we believe that we have a call to help, and we believe in community. Yeah, you're going to help your neighbor, and that's what Jesus taught, love your neighbor as yourself. But we don't believe in involuntary collectivism, that we take a gun and take from our neighbor to give to another poorer neighbor. That's socialism, by the way. Take a gun and point it out take from your neighbor to give to a poor neighbor. In our school, we got this thing. We kind of get on this thing where kids are starting to invest a little bit of money in stocks. And I'm talking 20, 30, maybe $100. And they're following the stocks and trying to learn what it means to invest. And one of them said, wow, yeah, I'm going to make a lot of money. But here's the problem. Once you start really making money in the real world, you got the government that comes in and starts taking your money. And that's even why a lot of times college kids, high school kids are very liberal. I mean, they're leftists. But then they start making money and they find out the government takes it from them to give somebody else who hasn't worked. And they have a tendency to start being a little bit more
more conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is my property. This is my money. Well, wait a minute here. I maybe I'll help my neighbor. I don't want you to take my money. I work for this money.
Right.
And that's all. I think that's always been the case. Nine, the conservative perceives the need for prudent restraints upon power and human passions. We've got to have laws. That's the principle number nine is what divides a conservative from a libertarian. And there's, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are, you know, they're more or less Republican, but they lean toward libertarianism, which is the idea. They don't start with God, generally. They start with mankind. And that I have as much freedom as my freedom only ends where your nose begins. In other words, I can swing my fist. As long as I don't connect with your nose, I can swing my fist.
Right.
And I get that. There's some truth to that. But human passions need to be restrained. And that's why we have a Constitution. We just finished a big exam my kids did on the Constitution. And as Madison said in Federalist Paper number 51, hey, if men were angels, we would need a government. Or if angels ruled over men or men ruled over angels. But the problem is, none of those things are true. Government has to be restrained because men have to be restrained because they're not angels. And government has to be restrained because those in government are not angels. The trick is to have the right balance here. But we do understand that we need restraint over power in human passions. I sense it in myself. And, you know, I'm not all powerful. I shouldn't be. In our church, I'm the pastor, true, but I don't make all the decisions. I mean, I got to persuade people to do what I think they should do or we should do. Some decisions I get to make, some the deacons make, and some the church body as a whole makes. That's the way that works. There has to be some restraint. Even for me, even for you, even for Donald Trump, there's got to be some restraints. Lastly, 10, the thinking conservatives understands that permanence and change must be recognized and reconciled in a vigorous society. Edmund Burke, Russell Kirk, they weren't saying that nothing should ever change because we got innovation. We got all this stuff now with AI, artificial intelligence. How is that going to fit into our laws? Is that good? Is that good? Let me ask you, Randy, is AI good?
Well, I use it every day on my phone, and there's fear that it's going to take over jobs here in the United States. I've read all kinds of stories, pro and con, so I haven't made a decision on it one way or another yet, but I'm leery. I use it, but at the same time, I have some concerns about it.
Right. And okay, good. Man, I think that I would say I'd go along with that. I will tell you this, for what this is worth, listeners. When I look stuff up on my phone and it goes right immediately to AI, I found them, to best of my knowledge, pretty square.
Yeah.
Pretty factual, pretty square. Now, I don't know who fed all that information into AI. Somebody did, right? Somebody had to tell AI what's what, because they weren't, how did they know all this stuff?
Right.
But when I ask Bible questions, it makes my study of the Bible way quicker. Yeah, I could ask them a Bible question about almost anything, and boom, it's there.
Yep.
Listen, back in the day, I used to have to drag out 4 commentaries and try to figure something out, what a particular verse or something is. Hey, AI's pretty good at it. And they can give me, well, what did Charles Haddon Spurgeon say about this verse? Or Matthew Henry, what did he say about this verse? Or Pink, what did he say about this verse? Or what did Augustine say about this? Or Calvin or Luther or Zwingli or Wesley or Whitfield or you name it. Boom. All the time it took me to look things up. Wow, I don't have to spend that time anymore looking things up like that. Now, maybe that's bad, though, too. Maybe it's making me lazy, too.
Well, you know, what I think it is, and I haven't fully comprehended how it operates, I don't think it's someone putting information into AI. I think what it is it's a algorithm that basically just, whatever you ask for, it pulls the information that's already out there readily available. It doesn't think. It's artificial intelligence. It just automatically grabs whatever it is you're looking for. It's not somebody sat down and fed all this information into AI. It's kind of like a search engine is the way I think it operates. So I've got a question.
Maybe you're right.
I got a question for you on the other side as to whether or not you had it on the test with your students about the Constitution. We'll get into that and some more discussion with Pat Chatfield. Bomb the Hour News Break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, brought to you by Exodus, Faith, Fitness, and Freedom. Build strength inside.